Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Friday, November 20th. We are at the end of the week. Hey, congratulations, you made it. Hopefully you have an easy day today, and then you get a nice little weekend to enjoy. No matter where you are, no matter how you're listening to us today, we want to say this, thank you. Thanks for tuning us in. Thanks for having us on today. Hopefully we can provide you with a little bit of entertainment today, a little bit of information as we head into a Tennessee weekend coming up this weekend. Lot to get into today, fellas. Plenty on the menu. But before we dive into any of that, any of the NFL, college football, NBA news that is on the table, gotta introduce the guys in the room. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back behind the booth. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Weekend's almost here. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick. Forgot about my my headphones. It might help if I had those on. Those are helpful when doing radio.
I'm feeling pretty good. It's a Friday. Brandon's got on orange.
Yeah.
That kind of means he's a little bit.
No. Do not confuse. Chance.
This
is for basketball.
Okay.
Five days away.
This is a basketball hoodie. This is not a football hoodie. This even says basketball on the tag. Do not get it confused.
You see this tee? Yeah. This is the tee that the basketball team wears, yeah. Okay?
This is
not
a power.
Not the one in the helmet, the basketball
this
jersey.
This is a power tee for basketball.
Actually, we don't have a power tee on our jersey, do we?
No. It just says Tennessee.
Is there one on the shorts anywhere?
Maybe on the bottom of the shorts. But
could be. Maybe some of the newer.
What if Tennessee's basketball jerseys didn't even have a T? That doesn't make sense.
I don't think it
would
look
good. What about the waistband?
I don't think it would look good.
What about the jersey? You know how like
I think it might be on the waistband.
I think it might be on the waistband too.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's like a 4-square checkerboard. They do that a lot sometimes.
Yeah, the checkerboard's coming up the sides on some of the jerseys and on the shorts.
Okay, you know how
some of the throwbacks do have the power T.
Well, our official new uniforms are going to be the Tennessee
well,
on top
the
and the
T.
volunteer
well, they
curve.
Have the T.
They do?
On the shorts.
Okay. You know those jerseys that some teams have and
well,
you
this
see,
says they're alternate uniforms, but yeah, they have the power
yeah,
T.
Yeah, they're no longer, wait, like the circle ones?
These right here. Yeah. It says Vols and, I mean.
Oh, yeah, those are just their
yeah,
uniforms,
I think that
now.
Got announced
yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
that's
they were the alternates a few years, but, I mean, last year they basically wore them every game, and they're going to do the same this year. And
so
they've even got orange, the orange
so
throwback.
Cool.
So you have a power tee on your shorts.
You know those the college basketball jerseys are sometimes, I don't know, you might get them in other leagues where it's just like the single logo, like one big logo on top
yeah,
and then
Michigan,
the number.
Michigan State has that. I don't like it.
Yes. So you don't? Would you not?
No.
You wouldn't like that for Tennessee? Just
no.
A big power T, and then the number right under.
No,
me neither. I just wanted to see.
I wonder if you'd have said you liked it. What he said.
No, you guys know me. Like I'm very traditional with my jerseys. That's why I like these Tennessee ones because they're old school. They're slick.
My
I
favorite part of all
jerseys.
Of it is just the breakaway pants with the candy stripes.
Oh, nothing better.
I love just tearaway pants so much. Tearaway clothes, really.
I've never seen you wear any tearaway pants.
I have.
You gotta wait for the weekends. Once the sun goes down, Chance.
Does he go into his tearaway bag?
Then that's where you find the occupation that the tearaway pants are involved in.
You get into your tearaway bag.
I wore tearaway pants to like every high school basketball game and the students.
I want
to
start seeing.
Saying Charlie's got a double life as a male stripper.
Maybe you start wearing them in here to the Blitz. Then let's see the tearaway pants. Bring us a little booster in basketball season.
I don't know if I want to see those. Let's see what's under the tearaway pants.
I mean,
that's the flip side.
Tearaway.
I mean, he's an adult. I hope that, like, you know, he keeps it, you know, keeps it classy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's an adult.
Guys, we have plenty on the menu today. I do want to get into this Tennessee football game tomorrow. Auburn on deck for Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols. Talk a little bit about maybe our expectations heading into the game. Kind of talk about what we'd like to see, because I think that's an interesting way to take it, and I think that's something I would like to hear from you guys. Is I know that, you know, we're not necessarily expecting a win, but I also think we're in kind of this weird position where, you know, we want some kind of change. We might feel like something drastic needs to happen to get that change. Does it make you in any way, shape, or form root against your team?
What are you doing?
I'm asking the tough questions.
What are you
doing? I'm a journalist.
No! It's not a journalistic question. Are you rooting against your team?
What, you don't think there's people out there who are
Yes, there are people out there rooting against you? Yes,
so
yes.
Are you just taking it disrespectfully that I asked you that question?
I just don't want to get to that point. I don't want to be there. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to have to think about doing that. I don't want to.
I feel like, are you not there?
Are you all? Fine. Since you're at, are you all rooting for against them tomorrow? Do you hope they lose?
I just don't think they'll win.
Well, obviously, nobody thinks they're going to win.
So but does it, so
that's not the question.
So subconsciously, do I hope they lose?
I think that's the.
Are
that's
we to that place... point? Because we got to that point in 2017. We got to that point in 2017 where I don't know if I'd say a large portion of the fan base, but a portion of the fan base was actively rooting for them to lose games.
I think that this is kind of where you're.
Have we got to that point?
I think
maybe
so.
This is where you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I mean, this is even what I'm seeing on Twitter. Like, there's a reason why this question was at the forefront of my brain. There's a lot of people out there who are saying to themselves, we see all the writing on the wall. Why, you know, the head coach and probably certain parts of this administration and things like that are going to get a second chance heading into next year. Right? So there's a lot of people who think you need something drastic to happen. You need, like, I know that in different ways the wheels have already fallen off.
I mean, a loss to Auburn isn't drastic. I mean,
no.
My conspiracy. I hope they lose, Brandon. I said it. Saturday. Hell, I hope they lose to the Commodores.
Oh my God.
So it seals his fate.
Good Lord.
Let's get a new coach. Oh, full God. Turn. I don't care anymore.
Did you ever care?
This is not how I envisioned this Friday.
I definitely was on the hype train during the summer. I was on the hype train during the summer, but he can't coach. Why not?
I will be aggressively rooting for us to win tomorrow. Like my
Well, you root aggressively,
on.
And then
and the next weekend,
you'll be heartbroken.
And the next weekend, and I hope we win four in a row, and I hope the Pruitt turns it around, and I hope he's the guy.
And you'll be heartbroken when that doesn't happen. And I'll come in here, and I'll give you an evil laugh, and an I told you so, and we'll have fun with it. Then we'll have fun with a coaching search. Coaching searches are fun around here.
But see, it's different, though. It's different. If you...
I've had less fun each time.
I don't want it to be fun. I just want it to be normal.
No. Coaching's chances right.
Come
coaching
on.
Searches
they are fun, y'all.
Chances right.
Plane tracking.
Coaching searches are fun.
Plane tracking. The speculation. Give me a hot board.
But here's,
I want a hot board, Brandon.
We haven't had a hot board in a while.
I need a hot board.
The thing. The women's basketball hot board. Didn't do enough for
didn't
you.
Didn't do it for me at
Pump
all.
Pump the brakes. In 2017, we were there. We knew if this team keeps losing... Butch Jones is going to be out. Do you feel that way about Pruitt right now? I mean, Blake talked about it yesterday.
If he loses to Vandy, it has to be Vandy. He has to lose out and lose
even
to Vandy.
Even if he loses to Vandy, they're not going to fire him. So why would we root for our team to be even worse?
I don't know if it's a surefire thing. It would be a huge blow. I mean, it would be a huge loss.
We thought.
And things would get...
You wouldn't be able to sell tickets next year.
Ugh. I don't even want to think about it. But... I'm with Charlie.
You've seen this story, though. If he were to lose to Vandy, the apathy and the people, the pitchforks in the street.
Well, yeah,
you've seen this.
Yeah, we have, but I still don't know if that's enough. This year, I don't know if it's enough. I don't know
if they don't compete in the rest of the games. No, I don't. That's not saying that I don't think they will, but hell, man, why not? I'll say it. Everybody's thinking it. It's like what Rick says when people get hurt and they're playing your team. You're thinking it. Rick was the only one that wants to say it, though.
I don't think like the real fans out there can stomach to root for the Vols to lose. I mean, they might be apathetic about it in the sense that, okay, well, I mean, I guess it's not the worst thing in the world.
Maybe I'm not a real fan. Maybe I'm a smart fan, though.
You know, the reason why this question was kind of bouncing around in my head this morning was because, I mean, when we were heading into the studio just 13 minutes ago. You know, we're passing by, you got the morning guys in, they're on their way out, we're on their way in, you kind of just exchange a few words, and Nate has given us the pulse of the people this morning. So that kind of triggered that idea in my head, but I wonder what, you know, you guys thought about that. I wonder what some of the listeners on our show thought about that, because I think that's interesting. I think there are people who are caught between a rock and a hard place. I'm not going to root for us to lose versus Auburn, simply because I think you guys are totally right. A loss to Auburn doesn't really do much. Like, you are expected to lose. Hell, you were maybe expected to lose this game before the season even started.
Is anyone ready for a new coach? Yeah. Honestly, or do you just think that you're going to ride out this Pruitt wave? Brandon, are you ready for a new coach? Not if you think there's...
Yes.
Rick?
Yeah.
Charlie?
Am I ready for a new coach?
Not if you think it's going to happen. Are you ready for a new football coach?
Like, do I want a new football coach?
Yes. I mean, however you want me to say it. Do you want one? Are you ready for one? Do you think Tennessee needs one?
Spin. Yeah. Here it comes.
Get that spin cloud.
Come on. Answer. Daily double.
Spin zone Charlie.
Yes, I want a new coach. Yes.
Then let's go ahead and make it happen.
Oh. But we're not making it happen. We're just losing and being more angry.
I have this growing fear that Charlie's right, though, that you can spend this time and this energy wanting the team to lose and pulling these scenarios out of thin air when, maybe not thin air, but pulling scenarios out of the air with this season. But at the same time, we're dealing with a very stubborn school. If there's one constant through any of the years, it's that this is a stubborn school. Hey, stick with us. We'll be right back after the break. We got so much on the menu today. You do not want to miss a single second of it. Friday show, heading into the weekend. This is The Blitz on FanRun Radio. All right, here we go, back here on The Blitz, 10:20 a.m. And before we head over to these phone lines, Phil, give us 10 seconds here. Have to go over to the breaking news desk. Wow, some major news has broken. Sound the alarms.
You like our new one? It's long. Every time you should say, play the short one.
Is it still going, or do I have to wait for the music?
No, it's still going. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn.
Oh, were you running a full commercial package?
You want me to bring this?
Meantime?
I'll play the short one again.
This is the short one?
Yeah, this is the short one this time.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're playing the same one again. Give me the news.
Breaking news. From the Hill, this is a press release from our own athletic director, Phil Fulmer. Yesterday, I learned that I had returned a positive COVID test, for COVID-19, and I immediately began our isolation protocol. A second test confirmed the previous positive. I remain asymptomatic to this point. I am feeling fine and will continue to work remotely while adhering to CDC and local health department guidelines. I've not been deemed to be a close contact with any of our student athletes or sport-specific staff members. Signed, Phil Fulmer. So Phil Fulmer has tested positive twice.
He got the Rona.
For COVID.
Yeah! No good.
No good. No good.
Got the Rony.
The first thing that stands out to me, you know, obviously, it's great he is asymptomatic. How old is Fulmer?
Sneaky old.
60-something?
Think he's a guy that looks older than he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
how old do you think he is?
I guess 67 jumps out of my head right now.
He's 70.
I think he's sneaky old.
He's 70.
He's older than what you think he is. I'd say, like, looking at him, like, oh, that's a good fresh 62 or something.
I think I might have gone a couple years younger than that.
He's 70.
Well, either way.
Hope that he's all right because he's an older gentleman with corona.
First thing that stands out to me is that he says he remains asymptomatic. That's fantastic. Hopefully that continues. Second thing that stands out to me is that he said he has not been deemed to be a close contact. Is that the correct grammar? Is that, what is that?
Yeah.
It says, I have not been deemed to be a close contact. Oh, I guess that makes sense. To be a close contact with any of our student athletes or sports-specific staff members. So that's good. That seems like game versus Auburn, still good to go. Any other sports that are going on right now, still good to go.
Yeah, just stay away from Barnes and the basketball team.
Yeah.
Stay away.
That's the most important thing.
They got those trackers, remember?
They do.
Stay away.
We should honestly just build them
an entire
bubble system like they had at the NBA, whatever. And down in Orlando.
We'll kind of follow up with this story and see if anything else comes up with it. But that is a little bit of the breaking news from today. Tennessee Athletic Director Phil Fulmer has tested positive twice for COVID-19. So again, yeah, we'll stick with that story. We'll see if anything else comes from it. In the meantime, though, let's go ahead and head over to the phone lines, Chance. Let's head over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and get one of our favorite callers. It's a Friday. Let's talk to Phil. Good morning, man. How are you doing today?
Phil, going once.
Phil, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Fabulous.
What's going on?
It's nice that Fabulous is asking the tough questions and delivering the ground-shaking news.
Well, I don't know about asking the hardest questions. I like to think I do, but I'm not sure I do. But I knew that would be a fun one off the top today. Kind of got the people jumping on Twitter.
First, when we talk about Fulmer, it's funny that they let us out about the coronavirus, but they let 6 months go by about the getting an extension.
Yeah, we should have found out about that back in. We should have found that out in May, next May.
It's just another thing piled out here. If they get beat by Auburn, the people will feel sorry for Fulmer.
I don't know. I don't know if they will or not.
Guys, you really look at it. I'm pulling for Auburn all the way. I'll be a War Eagle if we get.
Let's do it, Phil. War damn Eagle.
Clown out of town.
So, Phil, it's absolutely true for you. You have the mindset of, hey, you're looking at this administration. You know the stubbornness that they've had over a while, and you see the writing on the wall. There's not much that could change, the projected outcome right now simply because of the remaining schedule, simply because you are already slated to lose, likely, two out of your last three games that are coming up right now anyways. So you feel like, hey, we know what's going to happen. We know that we need something more, so we need this drastic thing to go ahead and take place, make it all happen as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's pretty simple, don't you think?
I mean, I think so, and it's like, and people that want to be like, why are you acting like this now? Like you say, the writing's on the wall. We all think we need a new coach. I wasn't doing this last season. I wasn't doing this the first year.
No, you gave him high praise last year.
Thank you. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like this. Only person I've ever been consistent on was Jarrett Garantano. I will say that. But
yeah,
I'm a Tiger fan this week. I'm a Commodore fan next week. Gator fan the week after, and damn sure going to be an Aggie fan on December 12th. So call me crazy.
Ben, y'all heard your boy Barry Brown on the last show. He called in, and he made the economic reason why they need to get rid of Pruitt this year. It's going to cost more to get rid of him next year if you keep him around for another year. Because you're going to add all these new assistant coaches that they're going to bring in here, and they're going to have multi-year contracts. You know, have to buy all them out, too. It's ridiculous.
It is correct.
And, Phil, yeah,
that's not a bad thought. What are you going to do, just hire a whole assistant coach staff on a one-year deal?
Exactly.
Hire a whole
no, that's the same thing that happened to Butch.
That's what I've been saying. You can't bring people in. He's not going to be able to hire anybody.
That's Butch couldn't point. Either.
But on top of that, Phil, not only is it going to be more expensive to fire him, but you compound that with if they finish the season 3-7, 2-8, whatever the hell they finish, nobody's going to be going to the games next year, even if they
exactly.
I mean, and you're going to lose revenue there. So, I mean, South Carolina saw it. South Carolina was smart enough to make the decision. Why are we not?
South Carolina credit. Because they did
why?
It in year five
why?
When they should have done it in year three. Like, we should do it in year three.
Don't we have higher standards in South Carolina?
We should.
I know we haven't done nothing for 20 years, but South Carolina's never done anything.
Brand's right. We should. It feels like we should. But,
I'd like to be good once again before I'm 6 foot under, in the ground. The way we're going, we're going to be on the level of Vanderbilt for the foreseeable future.
Oh, would you, let me ask, do you need a basketball championship or a football championship more right now?
Well
basketball's going to be good.
Well, that's true,
but we don't have to worry about them losing every game.
Say that one more time. It broke up for us a little.
We don't have to worry about them losing in most games.
Basketball, they're better. I mean,
they're top 15 program, and now Rick Barnes is here.
It's 9-day difference. And I'm with everyone. And, yes, it may be drastic to call for the coach's head this year because of quarantine and because of who he has coming in. But, man, another coach that's talented can do a lot better with the talent that's on this roster. He can't even do anything with the talent on the roster now. Who's to say he's going to do anything with slightly better talent in the future? It's not just about that we're tired of losing. It's the coaching decisions that you see him making games. He just doesn't look like he's a head coach. I think he's a damn great defensive coordinator. One of the best in college football when he was a defensive coordinator in this league and in the SEC and in all of college football. But I just don't think he has the tools to be a great head coach.
You know, I think that in college football, to be a successful program, there's obviously a priority list of the most important things you need. I think number one on the list is a head coach. I think number two on the list is an athletic director. And then I think number three on that list is a quarterback. And Brandon makes a great point. When you look at next year, right now, what is the selling point for next year? And I would think that the most common answer would be, well, a lot of people are going to hang their hat on the fact that Harrison Bailey is going to start next year. And I'm with you. I'm very excited for that, too. But that's still, to me, number three on the priority list. I can't, you know, I have seen a lot from Jeremy Pruitt this year. I've seen a lot from certain coaching members this year who could certainly be back next year. Who, even if we do have a new quarterback, even if we do head into next year with Harrison Bailey as the quarterback, am I confident that the rest of the team is going to be prepared? Not entirely.
Yeah. Name me a position group that's better than it was last year.
You know what? I'll tell you one that's
I feel like
not,
they've all regressed.
Offensive
line.
The offensive line has regressed, and David Ubben has the statistics on that. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I heard that.
Is that not wild?
Yeah. Yeah,
I know you have more statistics to work with from last year, and obviously, you know, they got better as the season went on last year. But I mean, regressed, and in the places that they did improve, it's so minuscule. You wouldn't think that, you know, having Trey Smith back for his final year, or inserting Cade Mays in this lineup, or having the most experienced beefy line in the SEC. You really would have thought that's what carries.
Yes, it's not. You know. Yeah. One more thing is Chuck going down to Cal College tomorrow?
You going down there tomorrow?
Going right? To the plains?
I couldn't get a ticket.
Nah.
They couldn't even find. Yeah.
Are you going to the Toilet Bowl next Saturday?
They are not having.
Yeah, they're the only school in the SEC that's not having fans.
They have 500.
Well, the opposing fans ahead anyway. That's pretty funny.
But there's a hotel down there.
It's gonna be so funny when they beat Tennessee with no fans.
I missed that. What were we?
He's asking Chuck what's going Auburn and to Vandy.
Vandy's not doing fans, are they?
They're not gonna do fans and still win the damn game.
Oh, does that play into their advantage?
Yeah,
who cares? Yeah, it does. Because the stadium's
always winds up being a home game for Tennessee.
No, that's what I'm saying. The stadium's like 80% orange.
This is the first time that it is honestly more in their favor.
It always made me really sad because we would always play in the last game of the year and it'd be like senior day for them. And I just feel really bad for those guys in that moment, just thinking that they had to come out on their senior day to 90% orange. And probably lose, and I was just like, man, that is so sad.
Yeah, but if they're a senior at that point, like they've dealt with it for 4 years. I wonder
used
if
to
they're
it.
Just
they're used to
if
it.
They're a little bit numb to it. But either way, that's such a funny thought to think about. All right, gentlemen, hey, let's catch a quick break here. That was a great conversation with Phil, kind of trying to sort through a little bit of the thought process in the coaching staff. With these final four games left here on the table, we'll continue that conversation. And if you would like to join in on it, well, then give us a call. We got open lines right now, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. Of course, as always, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz. The time is 10:37 a.m., and we are here in studio. Look, talking a lot about the Tennessee-Auburn game so far coming up for this weekend, but there is another aspect of the game that we need to talk about that you, in fact, need to know about. Now, there's already a lot at stake on this game. We've certainly already talked about that today. But now it's about to get even bigger because now you have the opportunity to put some good money on this game with FanDuel Sportsbook. And here's what that looks like. FanDuel Sportsbook is adding to the action with their special Spread the Love line boost for Tennessee-Auburn. This is a special thing for this weekend only. For every 250 fans who bet on Tennessee to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by 1 point in UT's favor. So as long as we keep betting, the more points Tennessee keeps getting. When I looked at this line last night, it was about at 15 points. Now, I looked at it this morning, it was a little less than 30. Does anybody have the updated line right now?
It is 39 and a half.
You're kidding.
Under Tennessee.
It's jumped 10 and just...
I'm not getting in yet.
The 2 hours?
I'm not getting in yet.
You're not getting in yet?
Not yet.
No.
I will. Why not yet?
Brandon, you can't do that.
I'm going
to have a responsibility, well, though.
Yeah,
we,
no, because
what
you,
if everybody
you have to
said
get
that?
In, so then everyone gets in, because once you get in, more people get in, more people get in,
if,
more people
what
get
if
in,
everybody
and up
said,
and up and up.
What if everybody said that they're going to wait till tomorrow? Then the line's going to stay at 40. You got to get on it now.
You got to get in now.
Now.
Well, I would say to what Brandon's saying, maybe you wait just a little bit.
No.
Whoa.
That doesn't make sense. Okay,
wait. And other people get in before him,
yeah.
And the line goes up even more. And by the time Brandon gets on it, it's plus 60.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you get the plus 60 no matter what.
Okay, that's where I was confused. Thought maybe you get it right
now.
You
could have been the one that bet on 10.5, and by the time it gets to 82, you still get 82.
That is the cool thing about the bet right now. No matter when you place your bet on Tennessee to cover this line, your final...
You get the ending.
Yeah, you will get
ending
the ending.
Line.
So
cool.
That's pretty cool. So
all right, Brandon, get in now.
All right, let's get in.
For instance, I already put my bet in last night. Again, I put it in when it was about 18 or whatever. Look, I knew that the people would come through because I knew that I didn't trust Tennessee to just straight up cover 18. But I knew the people would come through, and they have. So I put it down. Now I'm up to this 39.5. And then tomorrow, whenever the game rolls around, look, I feel like I can almost guarantee it'll be above 80.
When it gets to about 45, that's when I'll feel comfortable.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So you need to go make sure to get in on this. FanDuel did this last weekend with the Vanderbilt and Kentucky game. The line for Vanderbilt sat at around, I don't know, plus 10 or something at the beginning of the weekend, moved all the way up to plus 86 and a half. If you're not familiar with betting, you just listen to us talk about it. That means that if you placed your bet to win, Vanderbilt just has to lose by less than 86 points. This is a college football game. That's where the Tennessee line is headed as well. So make sure to go bet on this. I'm telling you, I consider this as close to a lock for free money as I personally am going to get. I won't tell that about you, but for me, that's how I feel. You bet the max of 50, you win 45, you take that, you go bet some Sunday NFL action.
I just feel like Auburn and Gus Malzahn and Bo Nix are going to be like Michael Jordan and see it and say, and I took that personally.
And I took that personally.
Here is 82 points in your face.
I love that meme. I love that meme.
I told this last weekend. If there's any college football team, any SEC team who dares lose by 85 points in a legitimate contest,
they don't fire him then?
They should be relegated.
No, you should not be fired. You should be expelled from the world. You should never be allowed in the sport again. Your university should be dismantled. Yeah, everything.
Go figure it out if there's water on Mars and get out of here.
Well, we already figured that out.
Like in person, I meant, you know, just ship them to Mars. I really think we're going to win tomorrow, and I don't know why. Like, I have this weird feeling that we're just going to randomly.
I love when you really think so.
Do that.
I want to hear more about that, but let me tell this last part about this FanDuel bet right here. Look, if you already have your FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, what are you waiting for? We're making free money. Come with us. Come join. I made $45 last week off the Spread the Love bet. Go and do that for yourself this week. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Hey, let you know though, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager of $50. Payout is set at minus 110. Issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Terms apply. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Now, Charlie, let me go back 10 seconds. You said you feel pretty good about this game. Maybe a little bit of a sneaking
suspicion? I would never say good unless I accidentally said good. I just said... Did I say good?
No. You said you thought we were going to win.
My apologies.
I
feel like that's stronger.
Yeah, I do too, but that's
you should have went with the good.
No, I don't feel good about this game, but I do have just this strange, strange feeling, this gut feeling that somehow, like, that Tennessee's just going to randomly win tomorrow.
Do you want them to?
It does kind of feel
obviously I want them to, Chance.
Don't be like that.
You haven't convinced me.
Don't want your team to win, Charlie.
I mean, even in Butch's last year, I still wanted them to win.
Brandon, what were you...
What did it get you?
What were you saying, though?
Jeremy Pruitt.
You kind of have a same sneaky suspicion that it kind of feels like a weird game?
Yeah. I mean, and Blake was talking about it when we had him on yesterday. He said it just kind of, for some reason, and he even said it too, I don't know why, it just kind of feels like, and I'm not saying that I think Tennessee's going to win, but it just kind of seems like this is a game where Tennessee's going to kind of hang around and, I don't know, have a chance to win at the end.
You know, I do also think there might be something to the fact that when, maybe it's us on this show, maybe it's others on, you know, the other shows on this station, or whoever it is on here throughout the week, maybe there's a sense of, when we spend less time talking about what's actually on the field, maybe our expectations just inevitably get switched a little bit or shifted a little bit, and maybe the team does have a decent chance to win tomorrow. Maybe not win, maybe not play well, but maybe they can at least exceed a little bit of expectations. Granted, you kind of go back to the same issue of what are people's expectations, right? Like what actually is exceeding expectations? So, Brandon, when Tennessee takes the field tomorrow, what will you be looking for out of the team? Because there's a lot you can say about it.
A few things.
What are you really fighting for? But I still think that there's things to look for. So what will that be for you?
A few things. I want to see 15 at quarterback.
Amen.
15.
You know, we have heard that.
Not two. Not whatever number Brian Maurer is. 10. Not 12. 15. I want to see 15.
We have heard, Brandon, throughout the week that this has been one of the highest volume of practices and workouts that Harrison Bailey has had on any game week. It's also been reported that this is one of the highest amounts of volume that some of the younger skill players have
Good.
Also had to work with the offense.
Good.
Now,
it just took you 2.5 years, but it's about damn time.
Well, will we see that? Here's the thing, right? Will we see that actually take effect tomorrow? That's the big question. If yes, then I'm 1,000% with you. Good. That's great. You are obviously using them in practice. It's time to use them on the field. Absolutely.
Number two.
But if you're not, trouble. Okay, go ahead.
Number two. For once, just one time this season. One time. Just once. Is that too much to ask? One time. Play a complete game. A complete game. Don't just play good in the first quarter. Don't suck in the first half and then, maybe we should play in the second half. No, play a complete game for one time. Just once. Just one time this year, please.
Yep.
And then the last thing, please make halftime adjustments. Please. For the love of God, make halftime adjustments. It's not that hard. That's all.
To both of your points right then, this is a stat we've certainly talked about before, but, you know, you're talking about playing a complete game. You're talking about making adjustments. In Tennessee's last four games, all four being losses, Tennessee has scored one touchdown as their only points in the second half of any of those games. And I know that, you know, a couple of them are talented, extremely talented, but we also had high expectations of talent for this team going into this season. So it has to be better, even if you're playing Alabama, even if you're playing Georgia. But you also have a game against Arkansas in there. You also have a game against Kentucky in there. And to think that your points actually came against Alabama of anybody else. You're 100% right. Complete game. But in order to have a complete game, you need to have halftime adjustments. Let's see Tennessee maybe have a little bit of an edge in the coaching department. Wouldn't that be a welcome surprise?
Well, I will say this, and I think this might be why I don't, like I said, I'm not necessarily thinking Tennessee's going to win tomorrow, but
I'm kind of thinking that you do.
No, I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm picking Auburn in confidence picks. But I think the reason that I feel this way, I mean, look at Jeremy Pruitt versus Gus Malzahn previously. He's always had success, his defense against a Gus Malzahn offense. And, I mean, obviously, you play the game, and you can't go based on what's happened previously. But, I do think Jeremy Pruitt is pretty familiar with Gus Malzahn and what he likes to do. So, I mean, I think the defense will be fine. It's just, can we manufacture any offense?
I'm with you there. You can say a lot about what you want for Jeremy Pruitt, but you kind of do have to admit either way that he does seem to enjoy playing Gus Malzahn. He does seem to enjoy playing Auburn. That dates all the way back to his playing days at Alabama. So, hey, look, you know what? For me, no matter how you get fired up about this game, even if you got to, you know, pull it out of a hat from an old Alabama-Auburn rivalry, if that's what it takes to get you fired up, look, and there's another aspect to it. You know, I'm tired of seeing this fan base miserable. I think a win right before basketball season could do some good. I'd like a little bit of excitement back with the fan base. We're all going through this together. Might as well try to get a little bit of enjoyment out of it. Guys, final segment of the first hour coming up next. We still got a ton to get into. We're going to open it up into the full sports world coming up in the second hour. We'll hit a couple NBA stories, NFL stories, and see what else is happening in college football. Man, we have too much to get into for the next hour. So let's do it next. Here we go, back here on the Blitz. Guys, we got 2 minutes left in the first hour. What do you guys say we do a little random prizeless trivia.
Okay.
All right, each get one guess here. I'm gonna give you a question.
Like,
Brandon,
each get a guess, or it's like tag
in? Yeah, each
in.
Get a okay. each, just.
We'll do I need my buzzer at
one trivia Tuesday?
No. There's no buzzer.
They're
Don't
back,
worry.
They're back to cheating again.
It's just closest to your answer wins. Okay. Guys, Thanksgiving is coming up. We all know this. Big time to head to the grocery store, right? So Google Maps put out an article about when is the most busy and the least busy time to go to the grocery store. I'm going to see who can guess it correct. Grocery store and then a couple other places. So give me your day and time that you think grocery stores are the least busy in America.
Least busy?
A day of the week and a time. See who.
So we're not talking about like close to things, just a day of the week?
No, like Monday through Sunday.
Okay, I'm going to say Tuesday.
Least busy.
Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Okay, Chance?
The least busy, Saturdays at 8 a.m.
You're crazy.
I'm going to go Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m.
You know, this one is kind of the theory of Occam's razor. The least busy are Mondays at 8 a.m. Kind of makes sense. What about the most congested? What about the times where it's the absolute busiest? When you're not going to go?
I'm going to say Thursday at 6 p.m.
Oh, interesting guess. Interesting guess.
I'm still going to say I never see a lot of people Saturday mornings at the grocery, like early Saturday mornings,
but
in the afternoon, there's always a lot of people. I'll say 3 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to go Friday at 3 p.m.
You sleep in a little bit, you get out and get your grocery done.
Chance 100% nailed it. The most congested time to go is Saturday from noon to 3 p.m.
I'd play my horn.
Real quick, let's see. What about coffee? When is the busiest time to go to the coffee shop?
Monday morning? I don't know.
Yeah,
Monday. Start of the week?
Saturday, 10 a.m.
Coffee dates, all you hipsters.
Hmm. Cody.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a coffee date. Coffee dates
with
are
Hannah
so,
Ann.
Coffee dates Hannah are Ann's so stupid, loose. Too. Our by girl. The way, like... Have you ever been on a coffee date?
Yeah, I don't even want to drink the coffee.
Today. I
don't like coffee.
I'm not a big coffee drinker either. Like coffee. So it's like, oh, let's go to this hipster coffee place and, you know, try this coffee that's $8. And while we sit around and talk about, you know, fighting the world's problems. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is what coffee dates are about. Like, we can just go and, like, go hang out. Like, let's go do some fun stuff. Let's go take some shots or something.
Not the espresso kind, huh?
Yeah, let's go drink some White Claws. Like, yeah. What do I want to sit around this coffee shop listening to this damn elevator music for? It's not fun. People, stop making coffee dates seem like they're fun. They're not. We're all just pretending when we're on any coffee date. Nobody wants to be there.